Well, Pat, you were born and reared in Tralee. Tell us about where all that happened.
About 400 yards from here. We were only about 100 yards from Rock Street, and I was born in 29 Rock Street.
How many were in the family? And tell us about your mum and dad.
In the family, there were seven. Seven of us in the family. There was four boys and three girls. I beg your pardon, four girls and three boys.
Yeah.
And that was it. My father had been, was a carpenter and a young, like, you know.
Yeah.
Where are all the family now?
All the girls are in England. They immigrated, I had to, back in the late 40s and 50s. The brother I had, Timmy, was in entertainment. He was a very good singer. He actually played with the Kerry Blues, and he'd done a lot of entertaining in the pubs as a singer. And he's dead, and Brendan is still alive, and retired now, like, you know. He was also a greyhound trainer all his life. That's all he'd done, like, you know.
Growing up in Tralee, Pa, I would imagine that football and greyhounds were the big love of your life.
They were the big love of our life, because you couldn't help otherwise, because in Rock Street, football and greyhounds went side by side, you know. And most lads that were in playing football, and there were some very good footballers in the town also, all over the town. But in the Rock especially, they were into both, into greyhounds and to football, you know. And that's how you spend most of the time. As I said before to you, is where is such a guy? He's up in the field. And the field was kicking football. Or he's gone walking the dogs.
I suppose you remember some of the men who were walking the dogs. I know the late Bracker Regan and people like that. Who else would have been the long-tail men?
Patsy will probably speak about that. We had Rory O'Connell, who lived where the church is now, St. Brendan's, and where the track is. Rory was a famous footballer, played for Kerry. A great slipper and a great trainer of greyhounds. He won the Irish Cup with Osprey Hawk. And he was a man we looked up to. Also, he was for many years in the sewer for the Kerry team. Brilliant man. You had Tyke Drummond. You had Dan Lynch. You had the Curtins in the Rock. You had the Yank Murphy. I could be talking about him forever. Jim Brosnan, the Greyhound Bar, Kilcoolies. All of them had greyhounds. There was Sheehy in the Top of the Rock. All the Barras, Joe, Jimmy, Tommy, they all had greyhounds. And that's what it was. It was greyhounds and football.
Yeah. And, of course, football then came into your life, because in 1950, you got the ultimate award. You won an All-Ireland Minor Medal with Kerry.
Right.
Talk to us about that campaign, Pa, and the men who played with you, because that was a wonderful victory.
Well, the lads that played in that team was, if I remember, Marcus was in goal, great goalkeeper, both minor and senior. John Collins. We had Mick Galway. We had Sean Murphy, who was possibly one of the best wing-backs that ever played. Colum Kennelly, Paddy O'Donnell, Paddy, Sheehy, Sean Murphy, and Thomas Murphy, his brother. You had Tom Lawler from Ballymacquin.
Who would have been in charge of you that time then, Pa? Had you training? What was it like for an All-Ireland final?
The training, there wasn't that much training at all. A bit of a match. There wasn't a training like anything like there was now, like, you know. You, now and again, you meet at a sports field above in Tralee, and you do a bit of running. I'm mostly playing a bit of a match, a mixed match, like, you know.
You also played Kerry Junior and Kerry Senior. Tell us about your junior days.
The junior days? Well, with me was after playing mine, I didn't play then for a while because I went to England.
You played in England?
And I played in England then. I played for London in an All-Ireland final against Meath, and we were beaten. But then I came back again. When I came back, I played junior. And we were beaten. We were beaten in the Munster final that year. And I went back to England again. And then I came back and I would play junior. And I was called in 55 then onto the Kerry panel. And we trained in. Now, at the time, there was most training with a very good man, Dr. Emerald Sullivan. And we travelled in by Hackney from different parts of Kerry, and we met in Killarney, and we'd done a couple of hours there, and we went down, sat down, had a talk, and didn't we know the rest. The competition went through the All-Ireland, and Kerry won the All-Ireland. It was a great year.
It was a memorable year, Pat. It was reckoned that that win was one of the most famous All-Kerry wins, and you were a part of it.
It was. I'll tell you why it was, with respect to both teams. Was Kerry, well, I'd say that year, the biggest outsiders that there ever were. They were never outsiders like they were in that particular year, like, you know, because Dublin had great footballers and they were nicknamed the Machine, the Dublin Machine, you know. And every one of the Kerry team on the day played their absolute best.
And, of course, your townsman and your friend, John Dowling, was the captain.
Here was John and Denny Shea with him, both of them. And every one of them played great that day, like, you know, and they were, I mean, you couldn't pick one as outstanding at all. Yeah. There was the one man that I admired also was a great man, Tiggy Lyon. Today in football, at that time you could say in every match you would play, I know about the statistic, but I would say, well, you're dead sure Tiggy Lyon will get a goal in 4 points or he'll get 5 points. Yeah. He'd kick balls on the sideline by the stand and he could put a hook on it. And to did land in the middle of the thing. He was one of the best sharpshooters I ever met, like, you know. Yeah. And a great footballer, and you could always put him down for maybe 6 points in a match or something, or five points, you know, off the hand.
Unfortunately,
and a free kick. So
unfortunately, like, Pat, you didn't get a medal even though you were a sub.
Yeah, no, because there was only three, you say, at that time. And three got him, like the rest of us, we didn't, like, you know. Yeah. But we were happy to play, like, you know. Yeah.
You were in 1956 then, you were a sub in Killarney then, when you drew in Cork, and you were beaten in Killarney, and you were also a sub that day. Yeah. What are your memories of 56? Niall Fitzgerald kicked the point, is that right, just to win the game?
No, but all that, you know, I can remember watching it, and you'd get excited about watching the game. I wouldn't have great recall on it, like, you know.
You played a good few challenge matches then and tournament matches with Kerry?
Yeah, we did, yeah. We played a few matches here and there, like, you know.
And when did your football career finish then?
I'd say nearly. I went to England then, like, you know. I think I won a championship with Great Britain in 1958 with the Long Towers, like, you know.
Did you? Yeah.
And that would be it.
How did you get on with your own club then, the Stacks?
Enjoyed every day of it, but we were unlucky that we weren't. I won't say we weren't good enough. There were better teams than us at the time, like, you know. You had the Strand Road here where they had, or the Cairns of Rathlade, they had two in the Kerry team, and I know that they win five championships. Yeah. Mitchells are the same. Yeah. They had two great club teams, like, you know, and they were very hard to beat. Yeah. Even in the Tralee District League, like, you know, we'd have these matches here, like, we give them a good match. But at that particular time around that era, the Cairns of Rathlade and the Mitchells were great teams.
Come here, as a matter of interest, do you still have that minor medal? Where is it?
I haven't, I don't know where it is. I think he gave it to a sister or someone, I don't know.
Did you? Yeah. A lot of Kerry footballers give away their medals.
I did too, but
but still in all, you're an All-Ireland medal holder. Yeah. They can't take that away from you. Now, so turning to your first love, the Longtails, the Greyhounds. How did you get involved in Greyhounds?
Again, it's because of the where I lived in Ross Street is with football. The Greyhounds went hand in hand nearly, and as I said before, you had to think of the names. We had Rory O'Connell, a great slipper, a great trainer of dogs, great human being. You had the Drummonds, you had the Kelters. All these lads now wouldn't be known by top ground people. They always kept greyhounds, the Reagans. You went away down the rock and you went to even Portney Landers, you used to have a few dogs. And one of the greatest trainers of all time, if not of all time, to me was Kerr Boyle. I had an uncle, Paddy Jay, good man. Patsy's father, Dan Lynch. Every one of them, and they were lucky enough to have good greyhounds, you know.
No.
But they were happy to have ordinary greyhounds, if you know what I mean. They had to have any greyhounds. Just winning wasn't everything. They had to have a greyhound.
Now, you went to England, you immigrated, you got involved in the Greyhounds. When had you your first big success, Patsy? Remind us of how all that came about.
Well, I don't know, I suppose winning the Kingdom Cup in 1948, yeah. There was a man in Dingle here at a Greyhound, like, you know. Jim Brosnan, who was a publican here and a great doggy man in Rock Street, he used to nominate, he had a nomination to the Kingdom Cup, and he was nominating this dog that wasn't Dingle, a dog called Philandros. And they asked me to go back and train him. I was only 16, like, but I went back anyway. And trained the dog there, and he was only a duffer dog, but he won the Kingdom Cup. And about 3 weeks after, he won another cup in the Dr. Griffin Memorial Cup in Ballyhale. So there were two big things that happened at the one time.
What year was this, roughly?
That was 48, and I'll tell you where I was celebrated. The same year, in Daggett Lane, in Hoolan's Dance Hall, Dingle celebrated winning the county championship, and also included us winning the cups with the Dingle dog. The one night, a great celebration. County championship football and winning the two cups with the dog.
What did it take? What training pad did it take? Explain to our listeners to train that dog to win those cups.
Well, there is no one way of being successful in training, and there's no special way of training. Different people have different ways and they're successful. But with me that time, it was old-fashioned training back there. You walked the dog a lot. And you gallop them a lot and well fed. I would go out for a walk and Dingle at 12 o'clock with the dog, and I go way off down by the bay and way out up by the hills of the golf thing they got for 2.5 hours maybe walking. If I went to 12, I wouldn't be back before 1:15 at 2:30 with him walking cross country or on the road, and he'd get maybe a 350 gallop every other day. Basically, that was it. Yeah.
After that, then, where did life and the training bring you? You eventually turned professional. After those wins, Pa, bring us up.
Well, it wasn't so much that. No, that was 1948. And well, it was just back home then, like, you know, and the usual carry on. Everybody having a dog and going to the track and parading dogs at the track, and. Then I went to England in 1951. That was after the minor 1950. I went to England in 1951. I went there with Kennel Jerry Hannafin. And the head man there was a man called Paddy Driscoll.
He was the man who gave you your break there?
Pardon?
He was the man who got you involved over there then?
Well, I went over to them, yeah, working there in the kennels with them.
Right.
And I was with them for a while, and I came home again. And I've never done anything else only that then, like, you know, since then, only Greyhounds.
Over in England, what racetracks would you have raced your dogs in?
I raced in most of them. We ran, I was training dogs then, later on for Patsy Byrne in England, and we were lucky enough, we won the English Derby and won the Scottish Derby. We won Peterborough Derby, we won the Dundalk International 4 times. We won the Gold Collar and in Catford and the Grand Prix in Walthamstow. Like, we won lots of races, like, you know.
Were you full time at it now, Pat, at this stage?
Of course, they were full time. Yeah. We were full time. You'd have maybe 18, 20 dogs, like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it had to be full time, yeah.
Yeah. What are the names of some of those dogs that come back to you now? Have you a good memory for the dogs? No, there were so many. When you returned to Ireland, Pa, was the coursing as popular then as the track racing? And tell us, did you get involved in the coursing?
Well, I've been involved in the coursing since I was 14, 15 years of age.
But were you involved in both of them at this stage then when you came back?
Oh, you would, yeah. Yeah. There was a season for them, isn't there? Yeah. Coursing starts in, we'll say, October until February.
You take in both of them?
Track would be all the year. Well, yeah. Most people in Ireland do, like, you know, yeah. Design Greyhounds. They'd be track for track time of the year and coursing for the coursing time of the year.
Yeah. And you were at home at this stage. To explain to us exactly where were you living now and what kennels are you at?
Well, at the moment now I'm retired. I'm retired at the moment. And the situation now is this. I retired from England, came back home to Ireland, and I was keeping a few dogs, like, you know, in a small way. Retired. And then my very good friend Patsy Byrne, he bought a farm in Limerick for, not for greyhounds, for horse breeding horses. So when he bought that, he contacted me and asked me to come out and see it with him, like, you know. So I went out and see it. And whilst we were there anyway, he said, "Ah, Pa, you don't want to be retired." He says, "We'll keep a couple of dogs here for fun."
Yeah.
So the place was not for greyhounds. And he said, "There's two houses there. Go into one of them. Don't be sitting in your backside." So I stopped being retired. So I'm semi-retired now. We have a couple of dogs out there for fun, you know.
Yeah.
But we've been very looking, very successful.
Now, you have been. You know, tell us something about the major cups or the classics that you have been involved in winning, Pat. What comes to your mind?
Well, between myself and my brother, we won five or six Irish cups. You know,
yeah.
Then we ran up the Derby a few times. But I couldn't tell you the names of the cups, the Kingdom Cup and all the different cups all over the county we've won, you know.
Yeah.
And we were lucky, Patsy himself, as I say, we won the Dundalk International four times. And lots of other races, like, you know, but I couldn't remember at all. But when the Irish Cup with Ballard Yank in 1980, Ballad of Bobby, 83, Black Rock, 86, Castle Pines, won the Earl of Dunraven, the Irish Cup, Sandy C won the Irish Cup, and Kerry Call ran up the Irish Cup.
Come here, you were a terrible busy man. You had an amazing life. What would it be like a day in the life of Pat Fitzgerald now? We say in the height of your training now, Pat, and winning the classics and all those. What time would you get up in the morning?
Well,
and bring us through a day in your life.
Well, you see, if you were at a training course in dogs, obviously you would have not as many as you would track dogs. If you had track dogs in England, for it to pay, you'd have to be contracted to a dog track. And you would possibly want about 30 or 40 dogs to make it pay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But coursing dogs is different. You couldn't have that amount of coursing dogs. So in the coursing dogs also is winter time. So you wouldn't be going out with dogs in the morning in the dark, because you wouldn't want to walk out and get wet. So you'd wait until daylight. And like that again, different trainers do different things, but I walk my dogs anyway. Now, today, you can't do what we could do 30 years ago, walking the road. You can't walk the road anymore, you get knocked down. You get killed, you know, with the traffic today, in comparison to what it was in the 50s, 40s and 50s and 60s. So where we have now, we have a big field. It's about a 14-acre field, and I might do an hour and a half walking around that. The dogs like it, because they see wildlife and everything, but I do a lot of walking around that field, and I have a gallop about 400 yards, and I might gallop them four times a week with that. And that would go on from, we'll say, August until now, the end of February.
7 days a week?
7 days a week, yeah.
Yeah. How do you know, Pa, when you have a dog in peak condition? How do you judge your long tails?
Well, you'd be starting off with the dog in a particular condition that he would be, that is, that he's not fit. Well, you don't need to. It's not any great science at all. It's only common sense that's in the whole thing. Like, you know, first of all, you would possibly dose him out for worms or whatever, whatever. And you'd have to give him a diet, whatever the diet would be, that he wouldn't be too heavy or too light, you know. That's not simple enough to. And then it's how you work him. Well, today a lot of people use a treadmill for their dogs, they call it, or a walking machine, a treadmill, instead of walking on the roads, which you can't do anywhere.
Yeah.
And they gallop them, and they feed them well, And you will see the dog losing weight if he was overweight before he started, and you'll say, well, he looks perfect now, he's grand. And you go on from that then, and you just feed him well. It doesn't matter what you feed him, once the dog likes it and he looks well in it.
Had you any special food that you'd like to feed dogs with, Per? What did you feed them with?
Well, one time they were fed with just good brown bread, wholemeal bread, like, you know, and beef. Vegetables and soup, like, you know. But now you'll get it, like, horses don't get so much hay anymore. They get special nuts, biscuit or nuts, as they call them. Yeah. Well, greyhounds are the same now. You'll get a diet for the dogs, which would be including all the vitamins necessary, you know, for them. So you'd get that, and you'd use soup and beef and maybe soup. And with the nuts, you soak the nuts in soup. It's made up with all the vitamins that they think would be necessary for the dog.
Yeah.
Right? And then you'd have some people, and they wouldn't. They'd be still feeding them brown bread and vegetables and everything. Their dog would run just as good as yours.
Where would your favourite venues have been, Pat? Where did you like going? Did you find more successful venues?
Well, it isn't about the successful. I like running in every course of meeting and carry. And I suppose that is... It would be like you following football and you love going to the county championship, whether it's in Carsevine or Dingle or where, you'd know everybody that have dogs like yourself. And that's what I like. I like every meeting in Kerry, because you'd be meeting all the guys and you'd have great conversations and great crack. And after that, everybody would hope to win the Derby, the track Derby. So that'd be Clonmel. And of course, the Irish Cup. But the Irish Cup isn't anything like it was. Clonanna was the Irish Cup, like, unfortunately, we don't have it now. So you'd like to win the Irish Cup. You'd still like to win the Irish Cup. And you'd like to win any stake. Yeah. The thing with every man that's in Corson is to have a dog in the Derby, to have a pup and to crack it go on for a year and a half. God, I was talking to Ishi Fogarty last week, and he told me he's a lovely pup for next year. Yeah. Next year, we're always thinking of next year. When that year is over, we're thinking of the year after and the year after. And that's the way with all the doggy fellas. And all they want to do is to win a trace and get the Clonmel. When you get there, you know there's only one going to win it.
Yeah.
Of the 64. And you multiply that 64 by 32. That's how many start in the year for one to win it. So that the Derby is the thing, like, everybody'd like to win it.
You're a tremendously passionate man. You know what? You're great passion. What was your favourite dog? What was the best dog you ever put through your hands now? You'd often hear a fella saying, who was the best Kerry footballer of all time? Who was the best? Rattle off two or three of your favourite greyhounds.
If you went to modern times, I'd have to say Castle Pines and Sandy Sea were very good greyhounds, two very good greyhounds. Very tough, and they were never beaten, like, you know. They would stick there to the last turn, like, you know. And I don't know. There were so many of them, like, I don't know what you're like.
What about injuries for greyhounds, Pa? How easy is it for a greyhound to get injured? And what are the natural injuries they get?
They pull muscles or joints.
Yeah.
Joints, like, you know, like a wrist, like, which is a very bad injury, you know, or hocks. Any of the joints, like, are very hard, because if you tear a muscle, it can be cured, you know. But if any of the joints, it's the joints are the important thing. If a joint goes in you, and you had no matter how good a dog is, he's got a wrist problem. It's very hard to keep him going, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I suppose, like the modern-day football. If he gets a bad wrist injury, they hear about him being cured, and the next thing, they're backed up again, like, you know. Only when you want them. When the day will come when it's very important, what's wrong with him? The wrist has gone again, or the hock has gone again, like, you know. Yeah. So the joints are the ones. Mostly the muscles can be cured, some of them, most of them, like, you know.
Yeah. In your career, you had a brilliant career coming on. Have you ever come across situations where dogs have been interfered with or have been drugged? And have you come up against that, Pair, in your life, anywhere at all?
You can only know that through the authorities, because they're the only people that can test the dogs.
Yeah.
You see, you can't look at a dog and say, he's drugged, or you can't, you can imagine that he is, or you know, and say he must bear what he isn't. The only way that ever can be done was through the official people, and that is the ICC for the course and Bordnagong for the track. It's their job to test dogs at random if necessary. At any stage of a competition.
Would it be prevalent today,
Pat? Well, we haven't. We don't see very much of it, do we?
Yeah.
Very little of it now. Like, you have, for instance, if you were to read the Doggy Man's Bible, the Sporting Press, every Thursday, and you keep looking at that, you will see in a part of it where a man was pulled up for some little friction that he had, like, you know. But you, very little... Very few times now do you see anything about doping or anything, because the authorities are strong on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's practically eradicated.
Where has life taken you? Where have you travelled to, Pat? Where have you been in the world?
Well, I've been like a graph, up and down, up and down, up and down. But I enjoyed all of them.
Where have you been? Tend to remind us.
I know, anywhere in England and Ireland.
Yeah. Tell us about your own family, and your own wife, and your own family.
My family. Obviously, my mother and father are dead, like, you know. Yeah. But my nieces and nephews, I have a great time with them. Enjoy that with them. But yeah. I enjoy life anyway.
You've had a marvellous life. You've been Now, when are you out again? Now, when the next track meeting? And we're talking here.
I won't be racing for a while.
Won't you? You had a little bit of an accident lately.
I had. Yeah, unfortunately, I slipped and after Clonmel, I slipped and I fractured a couple of ribs and I done the lung. But I'm okay again. I think anyway, for the moment.
What has life and the Greyhounds meant to you, Pat? What has it been like all your life, being involved
in
all
of
that?
I have to say, every bit of the Greyhounds and every bit of the football that I've ever been in, I enjoyed it. That includes the whole lot. I would not be picking out any of the ones that were winning times. There were great times in losing too. That might be a silly thing to say, but there was great times. When you were with good people in football and you all tried and you didn't win, they were great moments too.
Yeah.
If you're not good enough, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Or if they're better than you, there's better than you. And it's the same with the dog. The dog makes the man, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Most people in Ireland at the Greyhounds today, you can go to any part of Kerry, North Kerry or any part of it. There's hardly anybody there but their dad before them and grandfather before them all had and bred Greyhounds. And each and every one of them can train a dog just as good as a professional.
Yeah.
Just as good.
And is the culture of Greyhounds, is it as strong today? Is it stronger than it was back when you started off, Pat? And what do you think of the situation
now? There are more Greyhounds now than what there was when they, Patsy, back in the 40s. Yeah. You know, fella. Most people in Greyhounds, especially in Corson, are happy to have one dog every year coming up. You know, and hoping, and keep hoping. And for about 12 months before that, you'll be hearing about Jack, Tom and Harry. God, they've got a lovely sapling for next year. Like, you know? And that's the joy in it.
They've got a lovely what?
A sapling. That's a dog worth 12, 14 months, like, you know.
Now, have you a couple of lovely saplings? What have you coming through?
Well, I think we have. Well, I don't know. Like, we have a few pups all right, like, coming through. But no matter how well you think they're bred, they have to run to win, you know.
I've got to throw one more question to you now, Pat. Yeah. What was the greatest greyhound of all time, in your opinion? I know it is a huge one, but rattle off one name for me there, of a greyhound.
Oh, Jesus. God, I've had to think of that now. I think that's unanswerable. But I can tell you, one the greyhound that I admire was Doc's. Spanish Battleship.
Oh, yeah.
How many derbies he win? 3 derbies. Yeah. I don't know, Easter Cups. I think every laurels, everything that ever ran, he ran.
Yeah.
And he was as good, I suppose, when he was 5 as when he was 2. So you'd have to put him down. He's Chuck Connor, yeah. And very, a very good man for the game, too.
Yeah.
I would say that you know, it's very hard to say with the best dog, but they'd be hard to get a dog to equal what he's won. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
And not who's better or faster, but who's as good as him.
Yeah. Listen, Pat Fitzgerald, it was fascinating meeting you. Lovely to meet you. I always wanted to meet you. And only for Patsy Lynch putting us together, I wouldn't have met you. You had a wonderful career. You're a great man. Your passion rubs off, and I'll go away feeling better after meeting you. Thanks for talking to me.
And to you too. And the best of luck to you.